We're sitting here with Mr. Charles Clay. He is one of the happiest people I've ever met. And you also have an incredible amount of energy. And if I ever want to pick me up, all I got to do, I need no drugs. All I got to do is hang out with you.
Just get a dose of Charles, man. There's plenty of me to go around.
I think we've been hanging out for, I don't know, a little over a year.
Yeah.
Has it been 2 years?
It's been about two, I think, now.
Yeah. We've had a lot of good times. You've helped me with some stuff in the past, and I hope I've helped you with stuff. Who the fuck knows?
Oh, yeah.
And let's put that mic right there. And, we've gotten to be good friends, and I'm excited to introduce you to the audience. Can you, real quick, give us a quick bio about who Charles is. Although I think it could be like a 10-hour thing.
Yes.
It could be like 10 hours, but what are quick highlights that people, you know, what might they learn from you in the next hour?
Well, one of my favorite gifts to share is how to optimize the greatest technology on the planet, the human body. We each are gifted with these incredible avatars that we get to play in. So I like to have a lot of fun with really reconnecting that with people. That's a lot of the work I've been called to do. And man, so many different directions, like just getting people back to our natural state of joy and love and expansion.
I think a lot of people probably consider that that joy is their natural state. You know what I mean? Like, most people are like, I can't remember the last time I experienced joy.
Yeah, it's too bad when we pinch it off, huh?
Yeah.
It's flowing through us like a river at all times. We just tend to accumulate resistance and not let it in.
You are one of the most joyful people I've ever met.
Thanks, brother.
Were you always that way?
It's always been my nature. I have really vivid memories when I was a kid of just having the most fun with play. So getting back to that nature and incorporating that and all the incredible ways of releasing resistance allow me to activate my genius with play.
You say the word resistance. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people, you know, as an example, want to step out on the dance floor,
mm-hmm.
or they want to sing along with the song, but there's something inside of them that goes,
yep.
You know, it's like that resistance shows up.
It's the ego of putting yourself out there. That's a huge part of resistance. It can be emotional. It can be physical. Physiological, metaphysical. I mean, there's so many ways we tend to pinch off joy and life force and all this energy. But I love that example. I love that example because it just reminds me of all the times I go to bars sometimes without even having a drink, and I'll just check in with the vibe, and everybody is kind of, you know, got the arms folded in the corner and they're like chins up, like too cool for school vibe. And then
they haven't had enough drinks yet to loosen up. Yeah.
Right. And I haven't had any drinks and I'm just waiting for a good song to come on to make a fool of myself. Like as soon as I feel a beat, it's like, boom, I'll do the most ridiculous dance. And it's so funny to watch the domino effect of like some people, you know, you see the judgments at first and then you'll see a couple people start tapping their toes and then start moving their heads a little bit, like bobbing their heads. And then it's like domino effect. You'll get like one person, you'll lock eyes, like a girl or somebody is like, they've been dying to dance, you know, they just needed the green light. And then
most girls in the bar, they just need an excuse. They want somebody to ask them to dance for sure.
Right. So then you get a group of girls out there and then it's just like you watch this ripple effect of everybody kind of loosening up throughout the whole place, and then the whole vibration changes.
And you do that. You walk into a room that could be low key,
mm-hmm.
and the next thing you know, it's high vibe.
I do this at the grocery store.
Yeah.
If there's a good song at the grocery store, I'll be dancing in the aisles, and I love the looks that I get from people. they're like, people will look at me like, is this guy crazy? And I look at them like, are you crazy? This song is amazing. How are you not dancing to this?
Yeah, the one of my favorite things about hanging out with you is you remind me of what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
We could be at the grocery store together or something, and you start doing that. I go, I could have done that. Like,
yeah.
Like, but I was so in my own head.
Right.
I was thinking about something. Right. I wasn't being present.
Mm-hmm.
So is what you're experiencing? You think you have just a heightened level of presence? Is that something you've been working on?
Yeah. And just letting go of the illusion of fear. Like when I see that program come up of like, oh shit, they're going to judge me, or, you know, if I want to be seen a certain way, all that stuff. Those are programs I can literally just see come up, like old programs. It's like Windows 2002 software that doesn't serve me anymore. So I just swipe left on that and I'm like, let's get crazy. We're just having some fun. And it's so fun. You just do, I do social experiments all the time. So my brand is Vacation Vibration. And it is so easy. It's basically taking what we love to make so complex and just breaking it down into the simplest form to easily digest it. And a great example of this is, you know, just going to the DMV. So I had to go get my license renewed, right? And that is one of the lowest vibration places. Some people call this the closest thing to hell, right? The DMV. So before I walk in, I basically just create an intention and it changes the whole experience. So I decide, how do I want to feel in this? Well, I want to have some fun in the DMV. I want to make as many people laugh in the DMV as possible. So that's my intention. That's my challenge. Very simple. And I walk in, and instead of succumbing to that, like, oh, this place sucks, and everybody's just like head down, like time goes by like super slow. It's easy to succumb to that if you're not aware of what's going on. Same thing in hospitals, right? You walk into that place and it's just like, right? Unless you have the power of intention. And I walk in, I drop into a meditation. The kid next to me has got a big brace on his knee. And I go, man, you've been kicking too much ass, bro, or what? And he starts cracking up. He's like, I wish, you know, blew out my ACL, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, and then we start dropping in. Like, you ever tried meditation for healing? And he's, no. So told him about accelerated healing, gave him a meditation. Next thing you know, he's on his way, right? He's stoked and got something new to try out. And then
I want you to explain what you're talking about to the audience.
Yeah.
That might be a new one.
Yeah. So, you know, I gave him the same meditation that I used when I broke my back for healing. And I realized the power of surrender and just letting go of resistance and rest and digest. Like, I was so full throttle into adrenaline, like cortisol, stress hormones, awesome, full throttle. I mean, I love that.
You too?
Yeah, like, I love that. I was super addicted to it. And yeah. And it's fun to be just like engulfed in that, but it also pays a huge toll on our bodies, you know? It's like when you're in that state of fight or flight all the time, then and you're not getting enough rest and digest mode, then it's just, you're basically using all your resources for that. And then instead of capitalizing on, you know, testosterone, human growth hormone, all these real good, feel good hormones that help keep you lean. And
What are some signs that somebody's living a lifestyle that creates more stress hormones?
Shallow breathing is a really easy one. Or posture. You see it in people's posture. We're getting sucked into our technology and it shows, you know, it's, yeah. Those are usually the easy ones. Anxiety, you know, there's a lot of indicators. It's usually really easy to tell when we're in fight or flight mode. And that's what's crazy is I did my own experiments. So I realized, wow, this isn't really serving me well. I'm getting like adrenal fatigue. I'm like could take a nap for days. You know, I was first getting into personal training, and I wanted to save everyone and improve everyone's life. So I'd take like 10 clients a day and just go full bore and like rock it with coffee and everything. And then I would just hit the ground, right? And
dude, I don't know. I talk to so many people who are these big box gyms,
mm-hmm.
and they expect their trainers to have 8 to 10 clients a day.
It's crazy.
I go, crazy. You're not going to last.
No. And there's no way you can give the same quality to the last couple clients.
Yeah, I train coaches, personal mm-hmm. trainers in the Strong Coach program. And one of the things I tell them is dial it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're coaching 8 hours a day, mm-hmm. dial it back to 4.
Yeah. And go for quality over quantity and yeah. charge more.
Well,
yeah.
If you're getting bad reps in, so mm-hmm. if you're on your 8th client a day, you're practicing bad reps.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah,
it's a great way to put it. So getting back to my experiment, I realized, you know, I was like ready to just sleep for 3 days straight. I was super fatigued, dealing with all kinds of issues. So I was like, all right, I'm going to cut out everything that's revving me up. So I cut out the coffee. I'm from like Seattle area, North Bend. So I love coffee. And that made me really check my relationship with that substance. And it wasn't easy. It was like often I wanted another cup.
Well, I know so many people who listen to this show take mm-hmm. like C4. Mm-hmm. These crazy oh, yeah. pre-workouts.
Oh, yeah.
It makes coffee look like a
yeah.
bitch.
Yeah.
It's like
that. Yeah. Like, it was ultimate orange when I was
oh,
in
yeah.
high.
Yeah. I did
that
everything.
That was like insane.
If I knew what boofing was, I probably would have boofed some ultimate
yep.
orange.
Yep. Dude, it was great before football games.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so as soon as I cut that out, a lot, I just started gaining all this knowledge, and it showed me that I was so addicted to adrenaline that even without the coffee, my mind would find ridiculous problems and create this whole melodrama of bullshit just to get that same fix of adrenaline. And, or I would, you know, wait till the very last minute to get out the door to go to work, you know, so I was almost late. And that would give me that, like, oh, I'm in a fucking race car. I got to get to work. You know, adrenaline fix,
oh, yeah.
right?
Nothing is worse than being early.
Yeah. Yeah. So those are the little things that were showing up that, you know, that's how addicted I was to this this feeling. And so then I was up snowboarding in Mammoth one day, and it's a freaking blizzard. You couldn't see anything. And I'm there with a couple buddies, and they shut down the lifts. It was so dangerous up there, but we were already at the top. So we're like, hey, let's stay low, be ready for anything. Cause all you could see is a whiteout, you know? Shit. And, so we're flying down this mountain, and I remember it was fun at first. And then I take a jump. I had no idea there was a jump there. and I'm in mid air when I'm like a blank canvas. I can't see anything. And I freaked out, man. And I was like, I have no idea where the landing's at, what's up, what's down. So I smashed the shit out of my my lumbar spine, and it felt like a lightning bolt hit me, and landed pretty bad. And I remember like being in so much pain and just reaching for help. I was like, shit, are my friends around? Couldn't see them. And then I grabbed for my phone. My phone was dead. And I'm stuck on this mountain. Like, not only am I like 11 on a scale of 1 through 10 pain, and I'm like, I'm up on the top of the mountain. How the hell am I going to get down? So I clicked off my board, and I was just channeling like all the movies I'd seen, like Braveheart and like, you know, Gladiator. I was like, I got to get through this shit, right? So just my inner warrior clicked on, and I would just sit on my board and try to like ride it down as far as I could. And then it would hurt so bad, I'd fall over and just rest for a while and then keep doing that. It was crazy. And then I finally made it down. I go see all these doctors. They're ready to do surgery. They're like, yeah, you're jacked up. They show me all these x-rays and stuff. We're going to need to do surgery. And
what actually happened?
So S1L5, what just looked like they weren't aligned anymore. Like, it was like, it was jammed, and it looked bad, but I also let the painkillers wear off and and kind of just felt into my intuition and was like, don't do it. Don't go under the knife. So that began my healing journey, the natural way. And it was a painful one because I'd try everything, right? Like acupuncture to massage therapist to chiro or whatever I could find to try to heal my body. Cause I went from Incredible Hulk hardcore trainer to debilitated and stuck with all these terrible feelings that I was trying to drink away, using Facebook, sex, drugs, whatever I could use to not feel the fear, to not feel guilt, shame, like all this, like just heavy emotions that I was sitting there by myself in pain, feeling finally. And then I just remember like, that's it. I surrender. I'm open to all knowledge of, I know I just need to learn more and I'll get through this. And so I put this meditation on and it was Abraham Hicks, same meditation I gave that kid in the DMV. And it was crazy because as soon as I dropped in, a friend I hadn't talked to in years sent me a text and said, hey, I heard your back's jacked up. Try neurokinetic therapy. And this is the work of David Weinstock. So I opened this up after my meditation and just took a rabbit hole to connecting so many dots for me with my background in kinesiology, minor in health and wellness. It was the work he'd done. I was so excited about that I got him on the phone and I was like, David Weinstock, I'm in so much pain. I think you can help me. I want to learn. Like I've been following all your stuff. And he's like, you know, I'm in a conference teaching a course right now in San Francisco, but I'll set you up with Christina, one of my top students in San Diego. So by the time I walked in to see Christina, I looked like Shakira stuck in like a mid dance move, right? Like my hip was like way out to the left. My upper body's the right. I'm hunched over. I can't even stand up straight and I'm in so much pain. I could barely crawl to the bathroom at some points, let alone like get in my car and try to make it to the session. And I was so skeptical because I tried everything I felt like. And Christina rocked my world. She just started finding where these compensation patterns were going on in my body, cleared some of those, turned on muscles that weren't firing, and all of a sudden I get off the table and I can stand up straight, I can move, I could dance. I gave her a big hug. I was like, holy shit, I need to learn this. I just had an epiphany right there. And I was like, this is amazing. I'm going to learn this. I'm going to teach this. I'm going to help others make sure they don't experience as intense pain as I did. And so that was my gift that came from intense pain, from pain to purpose. And now I can go to the DMV and start a dance party and have people cracking up and laughing at even the closest place to hell.
Where can people find that meditation you're talking about?
So Abraham Hicks, I believe it's wellness. It's called wellness meditation. It's one of their healing meditations. It's 15 minutes, super simple. It is exactly what every cell in your body needs to hear. It's just boom, dialed in, deep breaths, just relax, finally surrender, go to the opposite realm of fight or flight and enjoy the benefits of rest and digest. Body already knows what to do to get back into alignment. Our cells already know what to do to balance and find harmony. We just have to get out of the way. We just tend to resist so much. And you look at, you know, we can learn a lot from animals. You pet a dog that doesn't like your energy. He's like, shakes it off, right? And then he's back to being a dog again. He's present. You know, you see ducks ever get in a squabble. They're like, whack, 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 Aflac. And now they're all fighting and stuff. And they as soon as they're done, they like shake their wings out and then they're like super chill, back to being ducks again. Yeah, and then they're back to being present.
Humans don't do that though.
No, we love to hold on to shit, like hold grudges and like, you know, and emotions. Like we hate feeling certain emotions. So that just becomes, you know, it's energy in motion. So when we resist it, what we resist persists, and then it becomes issues in our tissues. And then you got to come see me and get a mind-body tune-up so we can clear that up and teach you how to heal yourself.
What, one of my favorite things that I got to do is my brother came and saw me last December, and I got him a session with you.
Yeah.
His mind was,
yeah,
he trains.
Yeah.
You know, he trains, he works out, he does,
yeah,
a lot of my program, like a lot of the stuff that I teach.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, you know, and I think he hears about a third or maybe probably like more like 3% of what I say.
Yeah, right. You're his brother. Yeah.
But it was really cool because like you pointed out, you taught him stuff about the core where he goes, oh, I had no fucking idea.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, running around, all of us, like we're, you know, we love lifting heavy weights. It's just like ingrained in us, right?
Yeah.
But if we are dealing with any of these compensation patterns, any dysfunction in the body is going to get amplified, and it's just reinforced when you're throwing weight on top of that.
Yeah.
So
practicing bad behavior.
Yeah. So I would way rather help people work smarter than harder. Yeah. And just give them these quick, easy tune-ups. You can do, find those compensation patterns, clear them, and then go back to working out, and instantly you're stronger because everything's firing. You're supporting your spine better, and then your strength gains go through the roof, and it's just amazing. It's super experiential. And one I've been seeing a lot recently was the connection with the jaw. So I get so many people are running around without their transverse abdominis firing. Now TVA, that is your intrinsic core muscles. So if those aren't firing, then you're not, it's basically your internal weight belt. So you're not supporting your spine as well. And they should be firing milliseconds before you do any moves just to help stabilize your spine. So
why are people's TVAs not firing?
So here's what I've been finding. It's crazy. I will test those muscles. Literally, I'll like just push down on their legs, and if they are firing, it's really easy to tell. They, you know, will get a good neural lock. There's no, it can't push down. If they're not firing, it's a fail. Then their legs just womp, just drop, right? Like there's no signal going there. So then I find where the neurological traffic jam is, right? Like why aren't they getting a signal to their intrinsic core? And a lot of times it's the jaw. The jaw is associated with our limbic system, so our emotional capacity, right? So if we're clenching our jaw, dealing with anger or like just holding on to anything, any stress, we're just clenching there, right? Think of your nervous system as highways. So if your brain is home and you're trying to get cars, neural signals to your core muscles to fire and then back home to your brain to give feedback on how the quality of that movement was. Well, problem is you might have a traffic jam at your jaw. And that is, and a lot of times, like even guys and entrepreneur women, it'll be the right side is the tighter side.
My right side is so more developed.
Yeah.
It's like, I got like a hunk of meat on my right side of my jaw, and then my left side is like a little bitch.
Yeah, it's like you got, if you were a squirrel, you're like hiding nuts in there for the winter, right? On your right side. And I see this all the time. And that's masculine side.
Yeah.
Right. So in throughout history. So that's all the mind chatter of like having to do, like get out, bring home the bacon, the stress, that subtle fight or flight response is showing up in the jaw. And then that's blocking the neural signal to the intrinsic core muscles, and then you're weaker. So
that's why your jaw muscles, if your jaw's not firing properly, it can make your whole body weaker.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we see a lot of that. And that's a really easy one to correct.
Yeah.
So then I teach them my bulletproof core technique, and all of a sudden they release that. So now they're getting a good neural signal to their intrinsic core. It's really fun to watch people with this because they're like, what? They're like just turned on muscles they forgot about. They're like, whoa.
It's so good.
And they're instantly stronger in everything they do. So it's super fun and experiential. And
it's so interesting. I think a lot of times people will go, oh, why can't I get my deadlift up? Why have I hit a plateau in my squat and all this?
Yeah.
And it's hardly ever what you think it is. It's not because you should be doing five sets of three instead of five sets of five.
Mm-hmm.
That's rarely the problem. It's something that you're not even dreaming of.
And
something like the jaw.
Yeah.
And you're not the only person. I've been around. I've had my jaw work done by a few different people, and I've had from different perspectives, and every time I've gotten benefits out of it, and I've taken practices you've shown me, and I now massage my jaw because of you.
Right.
And it helps. If anything, doing it before I go to bed at night really makes a huge difference.
And with my work, I love it because once I hone in and show you where the compensation pattern is, then I teach you how to release your jaw. And then right after that, go into strengthening your deep core muscles. And I have some awesome exercises for that.
Yeah.
That's part of the bulletproof core technique. And then you feel it. You feel those turn back on. And then you're reinforcing that every time you do another rep. So then you go and apply that. Now everything's turned on and primed, right? Then you go apply that to like goblet squats where you're getting your glutes involved and your core, and everything's firing on all cylinders, and you just feel like a fucking boss in the gym, and you got a whole new pep in your step, and you're walking around like thunder.
if your core's not firing, your glutes aren't gonna do what they're supposed to either.
Right. So it's all
you got a flat ass. Mm-hmm. It's probably your core.
Right.
It's never what you think it is.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's fun because everybody's different, and we see all kinds of different things. But that's a lot of times when people are like pushing through the pain. Think about that, because your body is giving you a very important message, right? And the intensity of that message is the amount of pain you're dealing with, right? So I've learned so much about pain that it's been one of my greatest teachers. And so I actually appreciate, I'm like, oh, thank you for showing me that little check engine light, because I can correct that before it gets to a major breakdown. So I really appreciate those signals. Whereas before I'd be like, push through, fuck the pain. You know, like listen to like Rob Zombie, like, ow.
Dude, I haven't even thought about Rob Zombie in years.
Dude.
That used to be a thing.
Yeah. And Metallica.
Somebody right now listens to Rob Zombie in the gym.
Yeah.
Somebody does.
Yeah. And then goes home and watches movies and just like.
You know what, though? I'd rather listen to Rob Zombie than Nickelback. So.
Yeah, totally. Whatever you're in, whatever flavor you want, right? So listen to your body and thank your body for those pain signals and get the tune-ups that you need, because it's trying to prevent you from a major breakdown. The intelligence of the human body is so vast. We're always tuned in, tapped in, and always given messages whether we're paying attention or not. So
have you heard about this? I used some of the techniques you showed me with the jaw. I've had my jaw released by a couple different therapists. And the last guy I went and saw, he looked at my jaw and he goes, well, I could release it, but I could work on other stuff, because your teeth are all shaped in a way that it's just going to go back anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh, I never even thought about that. You're fucking kidding me.
Yeah.
And sure enough, like all my teeth are pointed in a direction that every time I chew, talk, clench,
it's putting them back
putting
in that pattern.
Stress back on the right side. So even if I'm solving some things at my jaw, I now get to get
yeah, get to get
Invisalign or something
yeah.
to straighten out my teeth. Because
yeah.
You get your teeth straightened out, then we release the jaw, and I go. Because I guess have you heard about that as a more long-term solution?
Yeah, you know, these these patterns die hard, right? And who knows how long they've been going on. So just like our programs that are running in our mind that, you know, create the veils at which we see reality through, right? They're either serving us or they're not. But what's great is you're already at the point of awareness, so that's a big step, right? Then when you begin to notice that, oh, I'm clenching my right jaw, what's happening when you're clenching your right jaw?
Yeah.
What are you tensing up on? What's going on in your life? Is it like, oh, shit, I got to fucking make this deal work. I got to like, you know, make this work. What are you trying to control in your life at that time, right? And when you start taking a look at that and say, okay, sorry, jaw, I'm not going to take that out on you so much, and then start these deep breathing techniques and expansion breathing. Then you can move this energy, and then it allows everything to align again naturally, and then your you're not taking it out on your jaw so much, and then your teeth can relax, and then like your whole body.
I feel so silly. My approach this far has been to work the left side more.
Yeah, you're only chewing with your left side now. Huh?
Yeah, but food in mouth, chew on left side.
Yeah, yeah.
That shouldn't cause any problems.
It's a good place to start, you know?
Yeah. The balance. I mean, yeah. I think it's been, you know, the left side's likely been getting underworked, and the oversized right side's getting overworked. So.
Yeah, we're always learning. Always learning. Always open to more expansion.
Put like a TheraBand over on the left jaw.
Yeah, we'll get you some headgear. We'll bring that back. Mike Bledsoe makes headgear cool.
If I can make headgear cool, I can make anything cool.
Yes, totally.
All right, we'll see what we can do.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So you just got back from the burn, dude. You still got like fresh playa dust on you, bro. Like,
that's what I was wanting to lead with.
My God.
Yeah, Burning Man was it was epic. I highly recommend it. Mm-hmm. To anyone who wants to go, I highly recommend it to people who don't want to go. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
There are only 75,000 people that are allowed to be there. So it sells out every year. And, I've noticed that it's harder to get tickets every year. Mm-hmm. I got my tickets 2 weeks before the burn this year.
Mm-hmm.
Went solo, didn't have a camp. You can go in, you can have a camp. I've done that in previous years. Went in completely independent, which was nice with my wife, Ashley. Mm-hmm. And, man, we went hard. It was fun. I went out 6 nights, and I watched the sunrise, I think, 3 times.
And, Mike, when you go hard, boy, that's next level hard, because that's one thing I've always admired about you is you take like a box of like a, this is what I'm used to in life. And then you just push in every direction, whether it's like with your experiments with plant medicines and all different sorts or like old patterns in relationships and stuff. You just like, you take a look at fear and like kick it straight in the face. I love that about you.
I tell people all the time, like, fear is my guide.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm afraid of it, then I have to do it.
Mm-hmm. You're like, ooh, hey, fear, let me lean into this a little bit.
There was a moment at Burning Man. It was halfway through the week. I look at Ashley and I go, And by the way, well, I'm not gonna put disclaimers on this. People know who I am.
So, it's out the window.
I go. I think I want to. I'm trying to decide how vague to be. I'll just say it. I want to take this girl out on a playa date. So like a playa date. The playa is the desert out at Burning Man.
Mm-hmm.
And a playa date, like, the rules are different at Burning Man, right? So, it's like...
You get to make up up as you go.
Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm going to go out with this girl. We're going to go hang out for a few hours. She's interesting to me.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to go do that. And she goes, well, why? You never really seemed that interested in her before. I go, oh, because talking to her scares me.
Mm,
she goes...
Nice.
Makes sense.
I love Ashley. She's like, oh, okay. If that's your why, then it's cool.
Yeah. I think she knows. She goes, well, now he has to do it.
Like, yeah, right.
If he doesn't do it, he'll just, it'll eat him up.
I love that. That's one way you get the most out of the human experience.
Yeah.
Is you recognize fear and then lean into it and create this dance.
Yeah, so for the record, that night, I asked the girl on a playa date. She said yes, and then we didn't follow through.
Mm.
But that's also Burning Man.
Yeah,
because
right.
you look, 90% of the plans you make never happen.
Right.
I try to not make plans. People go, I'll meet you at Burning Man. I'm like, uh-huh.
Yeah, like, yeah, I'll see you there.
Half the people that I think I'm going to see don't even see them, and then I end up hanging out with people who I barely even know and loving it. So.
And yeah, you just... You use synchronicities instead of time. There.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's legit. I mean, they make it confusing on purpose.
Yeah.
Because the map, the layout of the city is in time and letters. So you go, hey, I'm going to meet you at 2:30, at 5:30.
Yeah. Yeah, right. It's like,
built-in confusion. Thank you.
It's like you're just trying to meet up with somebody, and your brain's in a pretzel already.
And then on the last night, you have the man who's in the mm-hmm. middle of the city. They burn it, and then they pull up all the street signs, so there's no reference points.
That's
so,
right.
So the last night's chaos.
That's true.
The last night, my friend Tanya and I, we took a bottle of champagne, and we went for a walk. And the last night I was there, and we split this bottle of champagne, and we walked the perimeter of Burning Man.
Mm.
And there was this camp away from everything else, and there was a red carpet to it,
mm-hmm.
and it was this big canvas tent, no walls. And it looked like there was two living rooms set up in this tent. And there were people on one living room and the other one was empty. And Tanya goes, what do you think that is over there? I go, well, let's find out.
Mm-hmm.
And we go walk up and there's a gate you walk through to get there. And right next to it, and like I said before, everything's in time.
Mm-hmm.
All the street signs and stuff. But it goes 4 o'clock, 4:15, 4:30, 4:45, 5:36. You know, it goes in like 15 or 30 minute increments. The sign said 4:20. And sure enough, we were between 4:15 and 4:30. Oh, that was clever.
Nice.
So we walk in there and we see this guy. He's about 70 years old and 70 something. And we go, oh. And, you know, we start talking. And Tanya's asking all the questions. I'm pretty quiet at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine that. And
never.
She goes, how many burns is this for you? He goes, all of them. You've never missed a burn. No.
Wow.
And then he walks off.
Dang.
And then there's these other group of people in the living room space that look like they're about in their 60s. And so we start chatting with them. And they go, do you know who that is? I was like, no. They go, it's Ranger Danger, Michael. And I go, I that doesn't mean anything
okay.
to me. They go, oh, he's one of the founders of Burning Man.
Oh.
It's like, what the fuck?
He wasn't joking.
No.
All of them.
All of them. Like, he's responsible yeah. for it.
Yeah.
And we're like in awe that he's attended them.
That's amazing. Yeah.
And then they told us some epic stories. They told us how it started. You know, it's like,
awesome.
Well, we started a bonfire on the beach once.
Nice.
And then the next year we did it again, and twice as many people showed up, and it was cool. And then, you know, a few years later, the cops kicked us out, and then we found Black Rock City, which is out here in Nevada. And Larry, the one of the founders that passed, he's more well-known. I guess there were 16 people running Burning Man at the time, and he drew a line in the sand. He goes, if we cross this line, everything changes. Who's in? He said all 16 people stepped over,
mm-hmm.
and everything changed.
Yep.
Everything got really crazy. It's chaos out there.
It is.
Chaos.
It is the craziest phenomenon I've ever experienced. There's no.
How many times have you been?
Just once. I went 2 years ago, and I was just in awe of daytime's totally different than nighttime. You get just the best of both worlds, and the sheer art, the size of the art that they create in the middle of this desert, like a giant whale just illuminated, like pulsing with LED lights through it. And just this huge face or this sphere that's like shooting lasers on the ground that creates an illusion of space. And people try to ride their bike through and they fall over because they get dizzy. Like, it's just crazy. And I just looked around in awe and I was like, humans are fucking amazing. We just created this in the middle of nowhere.
I want to mention to people, because I think people, their assumption is people are just on drugs out there, which mm-hmm. is true. People are on drugs out there. But a lot of people go sober.
Yeah.
You don't need drugs out there.
I didn't.
You feel like you're on drugs?
I didn't. We literally, that's a great example. The whole time. You know, I had maybe a drink or two of tequila. I had a couple puffs or whatever. But other than that, I didn't feel called to do. I was already in like surreal land. It's like you're in a freaking Salvador Dali painting, you know, and that's without drugs.
Yeah.
It is like my nothing first year, I've ever experienced.
Yeah. My first year I was in such awe. I didn't do much of anything.
Yeah. I didn't feel the need. And then even the last day when we did try some stuff, we were kind of like, are you feeling anything? No, I think we're already there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
We've already been just on cloud 10.
Once you've been at Burning Man for 3 days, you're in a completely different reality, no matter how hard you try.
You're forever changed. And I remember, you know what's so cool about the playa and the burn is that even in the middle of nowhere, you can manifest anything. You can, whatever your intention is, whatever you want to create, it can be done there. Like, anything's possible. And I mean, we just went to simple things. Like, I just went to take off and our crew and like, we had a flat tire or something. And I'm like, man, if we only had a tire pump real quick, not one, but two people heard and ran out on the road we're on with tire pumps. Like, dude, instantly. And then we stayed with Camp Trilogy, which was amazing, just incredible food, right? And we're all a bunch of acro.
Is that from Trilogy? La Jolla?
Yeah. Okay, cool. So Joe and his beautiful wife, they got married there. So we got to experience that. And I remember asking Joe at the end of the burn, I was like, man, that was such an incredible experience. That was such a cool camp. What was your biggest highlight of burn? And he said, I caught up on sleep.
What?
I go, bro, that is the last thing I ever thought you were going to say. And he was dead serious.
What?
He was been working his tail off so much that his intention was to just like relax and get married and like start a new chapter in his life. And yeah, so even if you need to catch up on sleep, you can even do that somehow at the burn. I don't know.
I can't imagine that, but you know what? You never know. Yeah. Every burn for me has been so different. I've done three now. They've been all so different that I will now buy anything. Mm-hmm. If someone says, oh, this is how it was for me, I go, yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, right. There's no off limits.
No.
Yeah. Yeah, it's wild.
I was super fortunate. I had four virgins with me. And so what I mean by that.
So you might want to clarify.
Four people.
First timers.
Yeah, four people.
Some rookies. Yeah.
Their first time to Burning Man.
Yeah.
Not real virgins. I don't fuck with that. That's boring. Yeah, what's up with the like one day in heaven you'll get 70 virgins? Who wants 70 virgins? I want 70 pros.
Yeah, know what they're doing.
I want 70 pros with no STDs.
Mm-hmm.
That's way more interesting,
right,
than 70 virgins.
Now you're manifesting.
Just want to throw that out there.
Just for the record.
Just for the record.
I just want to rename the Virgin Islands. Is that too much to ask?
What do you want to rename them to?
Ben here. Ben Hur Islands.
The Ben Hur Islands.
Mm-hmm.
So I had four virgins with me. Some people are going to know who they are, and I don't care if they don't want me to say their names. But I had Michael and Adi Kaju, who they've been on the show before multiple times. They were there, and Ashley and I spent a ton of time with them. Epic. It was really cool. Like, with Adi, our relationship is, I'm like her big brother, and she's my little sister.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really cool for me to show her all this really new cool stuff and watch her mind get blown. Watching some of your best friends' minds get blown is better than your mind getting blown.
It's
the
best. It's like reliving your first time through them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I had Webb Donovan and Jared Davis come in. And Webb was in my retreat, Training Camp for the Soul, which was only 2 weeks before Burning Man. Halfway through the retreat, he realizes, a guy from Boston, he goes, I can do anything. And I said, yes, you can. And then I made a joke about him going to Burning Man. And that night, Ashley showed him how to buy Burning Man tickets. He buys two tickets, and he brings his friend Jared, who is...
Works for Subway?
He runs, yeah.
Not that Jared.
He runs CrossFit Crack out of Boston. And I guess crack's an Irish term. just like, he told me, I go, that's strange. That's a strange name.
He's addicted.
Makes fun to the Irish, I guess. And but he got Webb to listen to the show, and that's why Webb showed up to Training Camp for the Soul. So it was cool, full circle. So
nice.
I got to take a CrossFit gym owner and one of the guys from my retreat, because when we do the retreats, we get into super deep work.
Mm-hmm.
So I know a lot about them by that time. So it's cool to help facilitate whatever experience they're going to have on the playa.
Mm-hmm.
And those two guys, watching those two guys, they were completely transformed by the end of the trip.
Yeah.
You know, they thought they were coming in for one thing and then they got another.
Yep.
And they were perfectly cool with it.
They
were so stoked. In fact, I got a text message from Jared this past weekend. He goes, man, I implemented all this stuff I learned at Burning Man and everything in my life is getting better. My business is doing better. My relationships with women is better. Everything is better. And a lot of what he learned was how to simply communicate more effectively. And I know people think about Burning Man and they think about the art and psychedelics and the music and the dust, but man, that's also something that I get a lot out of Burning Man, is learning how to communicate better because I'm hanging out with people who that's where they put their attention.
Right.
Yeah. So rad.
And it's so giving. Everybody is giving. There's no, which is such a cool phenomenon to experience. Like, it makes me want to, next time I go, just bring a ton of shirts that just say like shift happens.
Yes.
Like,
that would be awesome.
So what I brought was a bunch of, those like doctor masks, right?
Oh yeah.
And I had these pens that smell really good. So I did all this art. Like, I drew like these ridiculous huge lips and noses, you know? So when you put these things on, it looks like your face is like tripped out. And so I made a bunch of those. I drew them on the way to Burning Man and gave them out, because if you get caught in a dust storm there on your bike without anything to, you know, you're huffing some major sand and dust. But those were really cool. Everybody just is so creative, and you can find anything you need there. It's wild.
It's rad. I ran into, in 1 hour, it was at this party on Wednesday night. 1 hour, I had three different people find me in the same hour and tell me that they were there because they listened to this show.
Yes.
And then I ran into another guy.
Confirmation.
Yeah. I ran into two more people that week that said the same thing. So a total of five. One of the guys finds me when I'm about to jump in a group shower. I'm buck naked. I'm buck naked, nice, hanging out with my friends. And this guy come running up, want to give me a hug. He's all naked. I'm like, yeah, let's just do like a bro hug.
Yeah.
I don't know you.
Yeah.
No, it was good. He's listening to this right now.
That's hilarious.
It was awesome. But I was perfectly cool with it. It was fun. I was like, that is... I was laughing so hard because I go, of course somebody's going to recognize me when I'm buck naked about to jump in a shower.
I recognize that ass from a mile away.
Like, of all places.
That's
awesome. The most epic place I'd been recognized up to that point was at a strip club.
Awesome.
What made it epic was my wife was there. And so she got to be... like, oh, of course he's going to get recognized here by the manager, who's going to say my name over the loudspeaker.
Nice.
He's like, oh, we got a Barbell Shrugged and Mike Bledsoe in the house.
Up next on stage, Mike Bledsoe.
That was like 3 years ago.
Nice.
That night was amazing for my ego. And, real plus.
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Let's get back. I want to talk. We did a good 15 minutes.
That was a good rant. It was good. It was worth it. It's worth it.
I know people loved it. I want to know, you're up to some new things.
Yeah.
What are these new things coming up?
So we were talking about retreats. We have an epic retreat January 3rd through the 10th. And this is in Bali. And it's called Follow Your Bliss to Bali. And we have organized such a badass team of superstars, healers, talented. We got a guy that teaches acro yoga classes. He also does fire spinning and sound healing. and he's like the best of the best of all these. And so,
by the way, all those things, if you've never done them, which most people listening to this have never done any of those things, they're all way more fun and way cooler than
it sounds.
Yeah, you got to
experience it.
You have to.
Yeah.
You have to.
Yeah, so we've basically created an epic choose your own adventure. So the lineup, the offerings are incredible, and like hikes to waterfalls and just really diving into the feeling and the culture of Bali and really allowing people to take a moment to experience vacation vibration and the other end of the spectrum, like when the healing happens, when you get to actually rest and digest and dive into a new level of self-discovery, you know? So this is going to be one of our most transformational retreats. Super excited to start people's best year ever off in Bali.
I'll be in Thailand in that period of time, and nice. I don't have plans for those dates yet. So
nice.
I might.
You gotta come, dude. If you feel the call,
I might be in there.
You gotta show up. It's it's gonna be like no other. And so we're really excited.
Right.
Teaming up with some all stars for that one. And my work with.
Hang on. Where do people go to find that?
So you can check out www.followblisstobali.com.
Followblisstobali.com. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Followblisstobali.com. And then you can reach me on Instagram, Vacation Vibration, Facebook, just Charles Clay, super easy. And then there's also my website, greatestyou.com, and that's the letter capital U.com. And that goes through, you can learn all the keys to happiness, unleashing your joy, all the services I provide with mind-body tune-ups, unleash your inner strength programs, which are just epic results we've been getting. So fun. I have a client in Kuwait right now that is just like, he's blowing my mind with the way he's been showing up for himself. And another client that flew out from Australia to get a tune-up with me, and now he wants me to go to Melbourne and teach neurokinetic therapy and all the modalities I'm using there at a workshop. And so it looks like I'm going to be doing that right after Bali.
Oh, wow.
In January. So the year's looking pretty good. Yeah. And then we have my podcast that just launched, Soul Sexy. And this is super fun on Thursdays at 3:30. And we just went live. We're teaming up with LA Talk Radio. So it's gone from a podcast, just started out, to now it's a full-on show, and that's with Brigetta, and we have so much fun on the show. Like the guests we've been getting on are like amazing. Like one woman can channel aliens, and
that's all.
She's
on the show.
Yes, and she's like using this.
I want to hear this
to give messages to her clients that they need to like just shed layers that aren't serving them in their life. Like that's just one example. It's so fun. I'm really enjoying it. And so we're going live to Kabu this weekend, and we get to interview some of the rock stars and enjoy the press passes and rock that out.
Oh yeah.
And then we'll be in LA in the studio to interview some of the rock stars for that show. So tune in to Soul Sexy every Thursday at 3:33. And you can even catch that live on my Facebook. We post it on YouTube and then on the website, soulsexy.com.
Soulsexy.com. Mm-hmm. Man, how'd you get that domain?
Isn't that great?
That's awesome.
Yeah, I love it. We just finished a little ditty for the intro too. It's like Soul Sexy. And she's like, Soul Sexy. Yeah, it's dope. We've been having a lot of fun with it.
Awesome. That sounds great.
Yeah, just multiple ways of getting the message out right now. Just on cloud 10, man. Can't complain. Life is so good. It just blows my mind how when you follow your intuition, life just keeps getting better. And then you hit these pinnacles and you're like, how can I get any better? And then boom, you're just like a new ceiling.
I've been having that experience myself.
The sky's not even the limit anymore, man.
Everyone I talk to, it seems like seems like 2017 was hard for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Was 2017 hard for you?
It was a challenging year for sure. Mm-hmm.
It seems like everyone got their ass kicked in 2017, yep. And everybody in 2018 is loving life.
Thanks for the contrast.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. That's what's great. We get to enjoy contrast in this human experience. We don't get that where we come from and where we're going. So even the worst shit that you're dealing with, just be grateful because something amazing is coming on the other end of that. You know, and knowing that while you're in the shit is really helpful.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Dude, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, it's been a treat, brother.
All right, man. Yeah. We'll be hanging out soon, and thanks for joining us today.
Cheers.